You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Yoas Nebe. Yoas, thanks so much for being with me today.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's talk about what you're working on now. I have a lot of questions about your work, but what is it that that's happening in the studio now, or what are you preparing for?
I'm working on a series, a film series that is called the Opera Series. It's a kind of interpretation of the opera format in film, in medium media, and I use found footage and footage that I shot on places where I've been, on places where I've been, and I put it in a row, and I change it in the post-production process. I make a prism out of it, and I add sound from different kinds of music and different jingles from which remember to a broadcasting news or something like that. And it's a little bit different to what I did before in, for example, Paradise Garden and Spas areas, where I worked on a special issue, the Paradise and Garden Eden issue. And here I'm more free. I'm composing images and sounds.
And yeah, it sounds almost more like a sound work than a film work. You're heavily involved with sound here.
Yeah, that's true. The main issue of my work used to be the work on image, on the image, and now I started to add music. I had always some kind of sounds and noises and soundtracks which I added to my films, but they haven't had a main role, so to say. They are just a kind of ingredients to the films I used to make. And in this new series, it's a little bit different. It's maybe it's the other way around, because the image is a kind of ingredients to the sound, to the music which I compose. And this is made possible by getting away from real life scene images, because by altering the images into abstract patterns, I'm able to cut off the connection which occurs in the spectator's mind when he sees an image from, I don't know, from a street or a street scene or something. He starts thinking, oh yes, it's like this and that, which I know, and this is different. This is what I try to stop by producing abstract pattern images, which are in a very close connection to the sound, to the music. And so to say, music has always a very abstract level. They are describing musics, but most of them are quite abstract level. And what I do now, what I try now, is doing the same with my images, putting them on a quite abstract level, without losing the spectator's interest, of course. That's one of the points. If you are doing a long film, these films are longer than, have a longer duration than my other film works. They are 10 minutes, 15 minutes long, and it's one of the things which I have to one of the most important parts of this work is to keep the spectator's interest during all this time the film runs.
That's true. And how do you keep it? Because it's not really a narrative. This is quite an experimental film, really.
Yeah, it's very experimental. But I think what I try is to make a very, very fast editing, to make short takes and add them and produce an interaction between the music and the image. So that the spectator has been caught by the music, by a special part of the music, and then the interest of the spectator maybe switches to the image part, which is very abstract, but which caught his interest by fast moving objects, very abstract objects, but you know, it's a psychological fact that that the human being always is caught by fast moving objects, and that's a thing which I use in order to caught his consciousness on the film, on the image.
Now that's very interesting. It's true. By when you say, you know, we tend to engage with these very fast moving objects, you mean kind of a fast editing. I even recently saw, I don't know where it was, but a whole series, may have been on Facebook, but just a whole series of words that came at you so fast you couldn't read them, but somehow you could read some of them, and perhaps the ones that you were most interested in. So it's that type of thing, right? Editing that's extremely fast.
That's it. Yeah. It's a kind of, so to say, maybe a kind of MTV editing. Because in the 1990s, MTV used to start this very fast editing, which which drove the spectator into the video, the music video, and later it was invented in films too in the 1990s, and this is a kind of procedure, a kind of production idea behind it, which is connected to our daily life experience, because life is getting faster and faster, because we have a lot of challenges. We have the digital world we have to face. We have our daily life to face, and even work processes are very, very fast. And so it's on the one side, it's something which is very psychological. It's a part of being a human being to react to something which is coming fast to you, which is going away fast. And the other thing is that these fast experiences very common and very very part of the daily experience of nearly everybody, that makes the spectator watch the long sequence. I hope at least it works that way.
Right. Well, also as I know you've said previously, it's also like a bit of a puzzle for the viewer to decode, in a sense, as all this is coming at them. And correct me if I'm wrong, but they're putting together a narrative, because what we try to do is make sense of something, right? Even if it doesn't immediately make sense, that the viewer might. And are there also paintings you're doing this or sculpture?
Yes, I used to paint in the 1990s when I started with art. I made big canvases painted, filled with figures, and some of them are presented in the hall of a musical theater in Hamburg, and it's a very, very big room, 2,000 square meters big. And these paintings used to be very huge. And it's funny, because from 2000 on, I started making film, nearly only film, and stopped painting. And now I moved to another place. I bought a barn in South Germany where I have a studio again. And now I start painting, or at least drawing and printmaking. And I think it's another part of my artistic life. I just started a couple of months ago. It's not I don't have a body of work which I produced already after moving to South Germany, but at least I guess it's something. There's another level which I want to express, another message maybe, which I want to express in this different format of artistic work.
And, you know, many aspects of your work seem theatrical, and I know you have a background in theater and film. Do you imagine a presentation of this kind of theatrical in a sense, or would it be just the film? In other words, how would this kind of cinematic opera that you're creating be presented?
Yeah, that's a good question. I started making the usual screen size of 16:9, and later I began composing many screens. I have a work, I guess it's one film of Paradise Garden and Spa, where I work with six different screens. So you have six screens. It would be a huge projection and very overwhelming to the spectator. And what I tried in the last years is getting rid of the border of this one screen. I just want, what I have in mind is freeing the film, freeing the image from the screen. So which is impossible, of course, because you always have to work with the screen. You have this this screen, but in composing many screens together to make a big screening, it's a kind of theatrical moment maybe, which is in there, because what I have in mind is not letting people sit in front of one screen and watch the film, which runs 3 minutes, for example, or so. Instead, I would like to see people walking around and seeing, like in a big puzzle or in a big painting from the ancient Dutch painters, like Hieronymus Bosch, where a lot of little figures are all over on the canvas, and you have to find your own way, like on a stage in theater. You have on the left side that you have action, on the right side you have action, and then you have the center action. And as a spectator, you can decide, I want to see the main action, I want to see the action on the left part of the stage or so. And that's the idea which I have in mind when I produce these multi-channel videos, these multi-screen videos.
And the audience would be sitting down during this experience and as a typical audience, or would they be moving?
No, they could walk around, they could sit down. What I have in mind is that they should be absolutely free to do what they want. They even can eat or read newspaper or whatever, because the films, many of my films are very short, but they are thought to be projected as a loop or in loops, so that there's an endless projection of this film, and maybe you have different rooms or different places where different films run in loop, and people walk from one place, from one room to another room, and they're absolutely free to go and to come and to see which part they want to see in from this big projection screens.
And ideally, how long would this whole piece be?
Endless. Of course, you have a limitation from the exhibition starts from, I don't know, 1st of October to 15th of October. Of course, you have limitations, but just to be utopic, one of the basic ideas would be to make it endless, to let it run. It would
like
be
that.
A composition of...
I didn't mean to interrupt, but then so people will enter into it and they can leave at any point. They can stay for an hour, they can stay for 6 hours, as long as they want?
As long as they want. As long as their minds are open to receive, I don't know, information, messages, I don't know. As long as the piece is interesting for them.
Right. Now you've said, you know, you weren't painting so much. You're starting to do other kind of printmaking and drawing work again.
Yeah.
in the future? Do you imagine exhibiting that? Really, the question I'm moving towards is that work, I imagine, was in the marketplace more. It could be sold. It could be consumed a little easier.
That's
this
true.
New project,
that's
this true. Cinematic opera, I would imagine, can't be. Is that intentional, or how do you feel about that relationship to the market?
Well, I would say, at least this idea I told you about is not for the market. You wouldn't be able to sell it. Maybe you could sell, I don't know, signed DVDs with a couple of minutes of this, but it wouldn't be the room experience, the space experience, which I have in mind. So maybe this is really not made for market. The market thing wasn't the first thing I have in mind. I just said to myself, okay, let's try something, let's do something without limitations. And market is always, if you think you have to sell it, if you have to have in mind that you have to sell it, this is different. This is difficult. And that's why I start again with painting and drawing, because this is easier to sell, in fact.
And are you doing other work at this time? Are you teaching to create an income?
Well, no, I used to teach film at the Faculty of Psychology in Hamburg, but that was 7 years ago. I stopped it. I started in 2000, and I stopped doing that in 2008 when I moved to Berlin. I have a lot of works created in the 1990s, paintings and prints and drawings, which I still sell, and this helps me to create an income for me.
But you must be running out of those paintings and drawings, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's why I start again with drawing and painting. Yeah.
That's
difficult. Yeah.
Yeah,
but,
it is. That's wonderful because you're able to support your other practice, which is a really nice setup, it seems to me.
Yeah, that's true. But even the video work may be sellable because I started a cooperation with Video Take Art Screen, which is a start-up business in New York, and they sell the rights to screen video art work to hotels or to bars or I don't know to restaurants, and I hope this business will run quite good and create a little additional income. And I have another cooperation which I started with Radar Collective, which is a start-up business from, I think, Rhode Island Design School. But this is quite brand new, and I will have to see how it runs. But it's promising, I guess.
And so with these collaborations, does that mean you're going to be exhibiting that in the United States? How will those collaborations work?
Yeah, Videotech ArtStream is a video portal where you can log in as a spectator or as a customer, and you can watch videos and then buy them. You can buy the license to show them in your place, in your business rooms, or I don't know, in your hotel. Part of the license fees will be for the artists, and another part will be for the portal business makers. And this is more internet based business. Radar Collective tries another way. They make printouts from the works they are representing, and they are organizing exhibitions in real life. So you have paintings or prints. In my case, they have photographs and stills from films, which they present in a room, in, I don't know, in a gallery, in a hotel, in a business place, in a hall, I don't know, in a hall from a hotel or so, I don't know. This is more connected to real life. And very interesting is in this business model that you have next to each image, to each each photograph in this case, you have a small code which allows you, if you put your smartphone on it, which allows you access to the artist's internet site. And this is interesting because you are able to learn a lot, if you want. You can learn a lot about the other works the artist makes, which might you interest if you are caught by the image you are in front of or so.
Ah, that's a very interesting idea. So,
yeah.
So in the future, this opera, is it scheduled to perform somewhere? Are you creating it for a specific venue, or is that still to be determined?
No, not yet. I used to work on Paradise Gardens and Spa series in the first part of in the first half year of this year. And the opera, this has been exhibited in different places, and I have some publications in journals. And this opera thing is now I'm trying to find a place where I can show it. But it is of course difficult because it has these oversize or this topical background, which makes it not too easy to find somebody who will exhibit it. But maybe I'm lucky and I'm finding a place to show it.
Yeah, well, I hope you are. It sounds exciting. I'd love to see that. Thanks so much for talking with me today. It's fascinating what you're doing, and I look forward to seeing it in the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIVC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.